Welcome to the Hinckley Institute of Politics. My name is Lisa Hawkins, and I will be the host for today's Hinckley Forum. The Hinckley Institute was established in 1965 through the generous bequest of the Noble Foundation and Robert H. Hinckley. The Institute is dedicated to teaching students respect for practical politics and the principle of citizen involvement in government. The Hinckley Institute offers paid internships to students of all majors here locally in Washington, D.C., and in 35 countries around the globe. The Hinckley Institute also offers classes, the nation's only campaign management minor, week-long experiences to Washington, D.C., and over $70,000 in academic scholarships. We invite students to go next door or to our website, www.hinckley.edu, for more information. The title of today's forum is U.S.-Thailand Relations. Today's guest is His Excellency Ambassador Chai Yong, and I'd like to introduce the Honorary Consul of Thailand to Utah, Scott Hansen.
Thank you very much. On behalf of our delegation, we're very glad to be here with you at the Hinckley Institute. As the honorary consul to Thailand for the state of Utah, I have great opportunity to interface with the Thai government and with those officials that have great interest in the relationships between the United States and Thailand, and have had the distinct honor of being here with His Excellency the Ambassador Chai Yong yesterday and today and tomorrow as he visits Utah for his very first time. And we're glad that we can have this opportunity. Ambassador Chai Yong is not unfamiliar both with politics or with the diplomacy or even with the United States. He has served as the ambassador from Thailand to the United States since May of 2012. Previously to that, he served as ambassador from Thailand to South Korea, to Switzerland, which also included accreditation to Liechtenstein and to the Holy See, so that's the Vatican City, and was also permanent representative to the United Nations and other international organizations in Geneva. He has been ambassador to Indonesia with concurrent accreditation with New Guinea. He has also been the general, the consul general for the Royal Thai Consulate General in Sydney, Australia. He has had numerous positions with the Thai Ministry of Foreign Affairs, has had multiple recognitions and honors as a government leader from both internationally and from the country of Thailand. Ambassador Chai Yong holds a bachelor's degree with honors and a master's degree from the Chulalongkorn University in Bangkok, Thailand, as well as a master's of law degree and a doctorate in law and diplomacy from the Fletcher School of Law and Diplomacy at Tufts University. It is my pleasure to introduce to you His Excellency Ambassador Chai Yong.
Yes, good morning. It's still before noon time. It's my great honor to be here at Utah again. I arrived here yesterday morning, and we still have 2 more days to go to visit several places in Utah to gain experience about this part of the United States. I've been here over a year and working in the Foreign Service for 38 years. Right after graduate from university. As a young Thai student, graduate from Thai University, and then, at that time, it's not very easy to find a scholarship to study overseas. So I was one of the very lucky young men to come to study at Tufts University with the scholarship of the Fulbright and the Thai government scholarship those years, and stay for 3 years before going back home and start with my foreign service in several countries. With that, I have gained quite a lot of experience. And the 3 things I always mention to my colleague and practice myself, and for those who are still working in the area of diplomacy, is that to be a good diplomat and to succeed in your field, you need to have at least 3 abilities. The first one is ability to know the adequate protocol, what is good or not good, or suitable or not suitable. Second one is ability to negotiate and bargain. Wherever you are, you have to bargain for the best of your position. And the third one, ability to communicate and reporting. Without that, you won't be able to connect people to yourself. So this is the basic three things that I've been carrying out on my, and it's been very successful in my case. I've been the ambassador for 12 years. Before that, I was DG for American Department for another 2 more years. And so this coming to the end of my career as a civil servant at the end of this year, and then see what's going on after that, I will start my another career of my life. The point of our concentration of this session is to talk about Thailand perspective and how Thailand relationship with the U.S. is going on. This year, as many people will be aware of, we will celebrate 180th anniversary of our diplomatic relations with the U.S. Thailand has been oldest ally of the U.S. in Asia, and the first agreement, treaty we signed is the Treaty of Amity Treaty and Commerce, signed 1833 between King Rama III and President Andrew Jackson. Right after that, we continue our close relationship, you know, helping, working together in all areas. So these are the beginning of our chapters. Exchange of visit between the high levels of the two countries are tremendously. We'll go there in details. But the current state of our relations, I would say, that between our two countries is that U.S. is the 27th largest goods trading partner of Thailand. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, in 2011, U.S. goods and services trade with Thailand reached $10.9 billion. So this is a little bit different. But in export of and $24.8 billion importing from Thailand. So this is the current trade situation between our two countries. Thailand is situated in the center of South Asia. We call if we divide it between mainland South Asia and maritime South Asia, we are quite geographically better off in our position. And the area total is about 20,000 square miles, which is about the size of the state of Texas. And population is actually between 65 to 67 million people, which is about the populations of the state of California, Texas, and New York combined. We have been known to be a bowl of rice bowl of Asia since we are a world food supply. And on the manufacturing sector, we have contributed quite a lot. Last year, 30% shares of Thailand's GDP come from this manufacturing sector. Agricultural products is less now. So now contribute only 9% of Thailand's GDP. So if you go and services, it's 25%. So 38% manufacturing products, agriculture 9%, and 25%. So this, for people who study economics, we know that this is a structural change of our economic system. It used to be agriculture country, and now it's more manufacturing, exporting, and plus the service. Service means banking, tourism, insurance, all these type of things as they're considered to be tourist services. So we can go to the next page. These are top five trade partners. Japan still be number one, followed by China, United States, and then ASEAN country, Malaysia and Indonesia. These are main exports, machinery, rubber, prepare meat, shrimp, and tuna, jewelry, and other agricultural products. We are the biggest exporter to the world of shrimp products still. So this is going to be the problem as well because there are more products, seafood in Thailand, which have come to the U.S., and then now the seafood local association or the alliance, they start to complain that their price is not very much competitive to Thai seafood products. So start complaining to Department of Commerce and ITC for investigation. We're still working out bilaterally through the system that has been set up by the U.S. Trade Department. So this is one of the serious issues that Thailand's doing. Having the rest is very good. We have still enjoy certain type of GSP, which allow trading partners to be free from any duties. Yeah. Compare, but still less and less because we are more become major producers of so many products now. So if you see all this, what we import from the U.S., chemicals, gold, optic and medical goods, aircrafts, agricultural goods. So these are all the products, direct import and export between the two countries. And the investment, yes, we call Thailand foreign direct investment. We have 70 billion foreign direct investment last year that helped create jobs in Thailand and certain transfer technology know-how that we have received. And well, last year, as mentioned, that our growth rate is still 5 to 6. The Bank of Thailand said 6.4% last year, and Thailand's unemployment is lower than 0.9%, which is considered to be a full employment rate. The system is different between our two countries, between Thailand, which is called primary family group people. People work in between, help each other. So that would not consider to be unemployed, but in the United States, it's a secondary family system. Everyone is on your own. Individualism is more important. So that makes things calculate one by one. So that means there's not much connection between the family and people. So that costs more unemployment in terms of the statistics of the U.S. But if you think that if they work together as a family, then that's not considered to be unemployed. So it depends on how you would calculate the unemployment rate in your system. We are still at the what you call upper middle income economy country. So what Thailand is trying to do now is raising our own to be the more emerging, advanced middle-income country. So this is what we are trying to do by increasing our infrastructure strength. The government just recently set up the budget to build more infrastructure, the high-speed train and more expressway. That's one of the things that's been very controversial. But in reality, once you have those kind of things, there will be more technology and advance coming between. But the problem is more on the financial system, how you get the money from and how things. But if you talk about our monetary reserve, we have $185 billion. So that's quite a lot compared to what we have before the Asian crisis. It's less than $100 billion. The Asian crisis was in 1997, but Thailand came very first, right after Korea, to be more on our own without any problems of this crisis. And now we are quite self-sufficient in terms of monetary system. And our policy interest rate is 2.75%, which is considered to be low for those people who are pensioners, who are very much relying on the interest of the money they put deposit in the bank. This kind of thing that people are worried because those who are exporters, they want the interest to be lower and the baht currency, our national currency, is be weaker than what it has not been now. There are so many reasons. There's a lot of, since there are a lot of problems in Europe, investors tend to invest in Asian countries. That's the main thing. So there's a flow of capitals to Thailand more than what we expect. And then the policy of government to export to invest overseas been not that strong enough. That's why there's still not many Thai invest overseas compared to what happened in Singapore, Japan, Korea, and Taiwan. If your money is really strong, you need to bring your money out to invest and increase your value added or add it up to the interest you have. So there's a lot of saying that if you have money, don't just put it in the bank. Try to invest. So that's the reason why many people in the U.S. invest a lot in stock market, Wall Street, etc., and then invest through the hedge fund overseas. So the current Thai government policy, promote policy which priority is medical hub of Asia. We would say that we have the best hospital medication in Thailand, best dentistry. Detroit of Asia, we have manufacturing, car assembly, all in Thai Asia. Ford is doing very well, Chef Lauren, GM, and a lot of Japanese and German cars have been very much popular and being able to export in Thailand. The President Ford, I met him, and he's very happy for making the right decision to set up the factory in Loyang. So they make a lot of profits by, you know, sending a lot of cars out and joint venture with Mazda, producing Mazda several vehicles locally used and exported to many countries, to Australia, Indonesia, and all ASEAN countries. We already have the free trade among ourselves, no duty fees, so there's no charge on several of the products or items trading between ASEAN countries. We are the kitchen of the world. Not only you can see the a lot of Thai restaurants every state in the U.S., but also in many area of supermarket, you can see some Thai products. We still need to negotiate more. For example, frozen chicken is not allowed to come in the U.S., so it has to be boiled, heated, and all this, and the taste will be very much different from what it used to be. So this is a problem that we still need to negotiate with the U.S. government. And then the most important one is environment protection, green growth, and sustainable development, which is the heart of every policy of the economic development in Thailand. You build, and then the next one, you destroy, is not so sustainable. So we work it out that could be consistent and then continue to help both economic of Thailand and our trading partners as well. The foreign policy that we have emphasized, top priority is the enhance. Every foreign government will always have to put priority to enhance the relations with our neighboring countries. Right now, they're all friends. We are 10 countries in ASEAN countries, and we're very nice and very friendly to Timor-Leste. I was one time ambassador. When I was ambassador to Indonesia, we visit Timor-Leste often, and now Timor is Leste, or East Timor, is Portuguese. So they now the observer member of ASEAN, and they're trying to be member, still working out on step by step now. So soon they will be member of ASEAN. Now ASEAN has 10 countries. In the near future, we'll be 10, maybe 11. And ASEAN community, this is the main topic for ASEAN, every ASEAN member countries, to set awareness of their own people about what we call AEC. And I will talk about AEC later on, because it's not only in terms of economic, but it's also into other pillars as well. And these are working out. By the end of 2015, every ASEAN country has to be ready to join and then amend their internal laws. So these are the things that's going on. But still, many countries are not prepared yet. A big problem going on, but we have to learn by experience. And the deadline has been postponed from beginning January of 2015 to December 2015 instead, so that more countries will have time to prepare themselves to be part of ASEAN community. Third, yes, at the international level, we are very active. We are the friendly country to every country. So we bridge the conflict, solve the problem, help negotiating any conflicts happen in the area. We've asked if we will try to be part of the people who be able to help and join the international community to bring peace and prosperity to the world. So, and in the near future, we will have been applied to be another non-member of non-permanent member of UN Security Council for the second time in our history. These are the three pillars of ASEAN economic community. You can see the political security, economic pillar, and social-cultural pillars. And on the South China Sea, Thailand now is a coordinator of U.S. China, ASEAN-China group. So we are working hard to make things moving smooth, have bringing peace and create more cooperation step by step, setting up what's so-called code of conduct so that everyone could come and agree on this in the South China Sea. And Myanmar, we are helping Myanmar to be able to stand by themselves, lift all the sanctions that U.S. government imposed on Myanmar. They still need time to go. We are standing side by side with the Myanmar government for democratization that the Myanmar government is working through. The only problems going on now in Myanmar is the minority problems. You can see the conflict between several groups, and there are over 100 minorities in Myanmar. So different language apply to all. So this is the main problem of of Myanmar. And to make them strong in terms of their democracy is not that easy. And the cooperation between the central government and minority groups, people, also not easy. But they need time. All community in the world, we have to help supporting them to live in peace together so that the multicultural society could be upheld in Myanmar. So this is the kind of thing that Thailand and several friendly countries are working to support Myanmar, to help Myanmar, whatever they need, both moral support or economic support. So that's about all for the time being I'd like to share with you. And anything that you think that would like us to elaborate more, please don't hesitate to ask any questions you'd like to raise. Thank you very much.
So we'll dedicate the rest of the time to questions. If you have a question, raise your hand and I'll bring you the mic. And just speak directly into the mic and say a little bit about yourself before you ask a question.
Hi, I'm Satine. I'm a political science major. My question for you is, does Thailand formally recognize the new opposition leader, Aung San Suu Kyi of Myanmar, as the formal, well, maybe not leader, but does Thailand recognize her as a leader in Myanmar?
There's no problem. But now, she's visiting Thailand recently, meeting her national colleagues in Thailand. And we look after her, welcome her to visit Thailand. So recognizing, when you put recognizing, it means the representative of government. She's not. But we accept that she has a very important role to play, and she's one of the leaders. Any problems? Any? Yes, please.
Your Excellency, my name is Steve Bannister. I teach in the economics department here. How would you characterize your feelings about the current state of relations between China and Thailand and perhaps even the other ASEAN members?
Well, I wouldn't say the feeling, but I'd say that it's been in the main policy that Thailand's been very much close to China. Because we have a long history of our diplomatic relations, and then at a vicinity, I mean, the area of the country is really not too far from each other. And we've been, so our policy has always been making a very good, friendly relations with China. And we are now the coordinator of ASEAN-China, which has been very cordial and very smooth, and for another 2 more years to go. So I would say that our relations between ASEAN and China is very, very good. There's no problem at all. I mean, in terms of our common and our mutual interests. Any other questions you'd like to ask? Yes.
Your Excellency, I'm Steve Reynolds in the Economics Department.
Yes.
And principal in a Greater Mekong Study Network that we have with faculty members from Mahidan and Chulalongkorn University, SWU, as well as Myanmar and Cambodia and Vietnam. Some concern about the South China Sea. Is there any progress in getting the Chinese to negotiate with ASEAN as a whole rather than to stick to their policy of that they will only negotiate with individual countries?
These kind of negotiations may take some time, but at least the Chinese got the delegation recognized the declaration of DOC as a basis for future negotiations. So the timing in diplomatic negotiations is very important. You just wait for the right timing. You know, try to make things smooth. Quiet diplomacy sometimes work. Yeah. When people are very in an emotional feeling, you need some time to take a break and then give them some time to think through it. No, that's what we are trying. We are very concerned too, but we have to use our diplomatic tools to approach. And for China and ASEAN, I would say Asian way is very important. I mean, keep some time, be patient, and discuss about any mutual cooperation, see whether we all can work together to prevent any conflict. That's what the stage. So, and that bit by bit, then we try to work out through setting up the code of conduct on the South China Sea. But it could be named something, but it has to be with the consent of all the parties.
My name is Nick Sartain. I'm a political science major. I just have a question for you, Your Excellency, about the fighting in the South. What is being done to kind of resolve those incidences?
Well, it's been a long, long time on the South problem. Sorry, I got bad cold. Anyway, there's a lot of progress now going on. The major group of the insurgents in the South have already agreed to talk. The first round has been done a few days ago. We are hoping that talking and negotiating is better than fighting. So the beginning has come. The main problem for the South is that there's so many groups. So this, we have to identify who's the most important one and very easy to not amendment agree to negotiate, because there's no one combined group, but there are several groups to move in South Thailand. But the major group has agreed to negotiate and settle them. And start for negotiations. So that's the beginning, and we have to wait and see how the team in Bangkok, headed by the Secretary General of NSC, National Security Council, is doing. But I think he's doing the best for when we talk, that would help to a certain extent. any more questions? All right, then. So I hope all this presentation would be helpful for your study, your research, or the information that you may want to collect for your any program or work that you plan to do in the future. And thank you very much for your attention.